This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, take your Bible, your copy of God's Word, and turn it to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I think we have our online program going by now, so we want to say hello to everybody at home. I hope you're doing well, you're staying safe, and we're glad that you're tuning in this morning. Psalms chapter 139, and I started a sermon series a few weeks ago entitled God Is, and we're going through the Bible looking at the attitude and the actions of God. God is faithful, God is our refuge. We talked about God is gracious, and this morning I want to talk about God is all-knowing. And the word that I'm going to use is the word omniscience. And the word omniscience is a theological and philosophical term that Bible teachers use, and it talks about the all-knowing nature of God. And it's a great doctrine for us to dive into, and I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to you. And we find ourselves in the classic passage on the omniscience of God, Psalms chapter 139, verses 1 to verse number 5. So if you're there, say amen. All right, verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my rising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast been behind me and before, and laid thy hand upon me. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. He's saying, this is so wonderful and so glorious and so exciting, I just can't even contain myself when I think about God's all-knowing power. I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about God is all-knowing this morning, and I pray this will be a blessing to you. All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless our time together. Use us, Father, for your honor and for your glory, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Hey, there was a story of a very, very wealthy grandfather who was going deaf, so he decided that he was going to go to the store and get himself some of those, hearing aids. And so he's going to get a fancy set of hearing aids, and so he puts them in, but he doesn't tell his family about it. And he's going about his day, and he's listening to the conversation and all this and that. And so he decides to go back to the store, and he tells the guy that he bought it from, he said, you know what, these things are amazing. I'm hearing things that I have never heard in a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, I can actually hear people talking in the other room. These things are so great. And the store owner said, well, your family must be so pleased that you guys can hear one another and you can engage in conversation. He's like, oh, no, I hadn't even told them yet. He said, I haven't said a word. I've just been listening to all their conversations, and I've changed my will 3 times this week already. Oh, I'm glad that God doesn't change his status on us based on the things that he knows, right? There was a writer one time who talked about the Greek worship of the ancient Greeks, and they said that every time a spider would crawl up on one of the pagan statues and spin a web across the eye of one of the pagan gods, the people believed that the gods couldn't see them, so they skipped out on worship. So they didn't go to church. They didn't go pay their tithes. They didn't go sing. They thought, well, the gods can't see our sins, you know, so we're going to stay home. And so when the spider webs were cleaned off, everybody made sure that they were back in church. I want you to know that the Bible teaches that God is not that way. And the nature of God is not displayed or characterized that way in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that God is all-knowing and that there is nothing that he can discover. There's no truth that he needs to learn, and there is nothing that is hidden from the eyes of God. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He would go on to say in Proverbs 5 verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his going. The New Testament puts it this way, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now that's a powerful, powerful verse. One guy translated it this way: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There's coming a day that we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account. And God is all-knowing. He sees all, he knows all, and the writer of the New Testament says that there's not nothing that is not manifested in his sight. Everything is laid bare, it is naked before the eyes of God. He sees all and he knows all. When Bible teachers talk about the all-knowing nature of God, they use this term omniscience. The word, it actually comes from two words, omni, meaning all, and then the word science in its original definition, meaning knowledge. And so when we talk about the omniscience of God, we are talking about the all-knowing God, that God possesses all knowledge. So when you study theology and you study the doctrine of the omniscience of God, it means several things. Number one, God knows all things, past, present, and future. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, it's like God is on a rooftop and he's looking at a parade. And he sees the parade, he sees the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, and the end of the parade, but he sees it all in one moment in time. And God is the same way. God looks at past, present, and future all in one moment in time. So God knows all things, past, present, and future. He knows all truth. Every possibility that could be conceived, God knows all truth. He knows everything at the same time, both real and possible. He knows what was, what is, and what will be. This is the all-knowing nature of God. Now, the best way for me to explain this to you is to use three auxiliary verbs that you can put in your mind, write down in the notes, three auxiliary verbs that will help you to understand and begin to understand the how God's knowledge actually works. First of all, we would say God's knowledge, God knows everything that could happen. God knows everything that could happen. That is, God knows all possibilities. God knows every probability, all possibilities. Now, no matter what, how the details change, God knows what could happen. God not only knows what could happen, God knows what would happen. That is, any possibility, all feasible possibilities, God knows what would happen. Then we could say, God knows what will happen. That is, God knows all true propositions. God knows all truth. So when we're talking about the knowledge of God, and we're going to explain this a little bit better later, God knows what could happen, God knows what would happen, and God certainly knows what will happen. When philosophers and theologians talk about the all-knowing knowledge of God, they talk about this word omniscience. Now, you need to know this. The word omniscience is not found in your Bible. You'll not find that word. It may not be a biblical word, but it is a biblical truth. And you don't have to search very far to find the all-knowing nature of our God. Let me give it to you. First of all, within our text, Psalms 139, verse 2, God knows what you're thinking. Do you know that? God knows what you're thinking. Now, as this sermon tarries on and you begin thinking, I wish this preacher will shut up so I can go eat something, God knows what you're thinking, all right? The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 139, verse 2, watch this, thou knowest my downsetting and my rising. That is, you know when I go to sleep and you know when I awake. He says, thou understands my thought afar off. That is, God knows what you are thinking. God not only knows what you're thinking, but the Bible says God also knows all of our ways. Look at Job chapter 31 and verse number 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is yes. God sees your ways. Your days are numbered by the Lord. Job would say in Job 34, verses 21 to verse 22, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, there is no shadow of death the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Basically, there's nowhere that you can hide from God. Now, you can hide from your wife, you can hide from your husband, you can hide from the general public, you may do things in private that you would not do in public, but I want you to know, you cannot hide from the eyes of God. God knows exactly what you're thinking, God knows all of your ways. As a matter of fact, God even knows your words before you actually even speak them, before they're even formed in your mouth. God, who is all-knowing, already knows what you're going to say. Psalms 139 and verse 4. In our text, the Bible says, "For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." God knows what you're thinking. God knows all of your ways. And the Bible says God even knows the very words that form in your mouth before you say them. God knows what you're going to say. Now, you need to know this. Just as natural as it is for me to breathe and to drink and to eat, it is natural for God to be all-knowing. It is a part of his nature. God doesn't have to discover nothing. God doesn't need an educator. God doesn't need to learn anything. Just as natural is it for me and you to breathe in order to live, it's my nature to breathe. It's my nature to drink. It is my nature to eat. Just like it's my nature to do that, it is God's nature to be all-knowing. Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Again, God does not need an education or a teacher to advise him. And there's a great passage out of the book of Isaiah that actually explains this. Again, Isaiah uses a rhetorical questions, and we know the answers to them, but listen to what he says in verse number 12 of Isaiah 40. He says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Is there any one of us that could take the waters of the world and measure them in the very hollow of his hand? He said, "Well, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and met out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Well, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and with who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Well, who is God's teacher? Who is God's counselor? You need to know this morning that God doesn't learn anything, nor does God discover new truth. God knows all truth. There's nothing about you that he's going to discover. There's nothing about you that he doesn't know or understand. He doesn't learn. He doesn't discover. His knowledge is complete at all times. God is never surprised, and God is never amazed. Since he knows everything, God never, ever wonders or speculates about anything. God's knowledge, unlike my knowledge and your knowledge that fades with time, God's knowledge never, ever fades with time. It never grows dim. His memory is always there. He knows all truth. He knows every possible situation. Hey, and he doesn't even have to count anything. He doesn't have to count the grains of sand. He doesn't have to count the stars in heaven. He doesn't have to count the flowers in the field. He doesn't have to count the cells in your body. He even knows the hair on your head. Somebody say amen. Well, for some of us, that's really easy for God to do, right? He knows the hairs on your head. God doesn't have to count anything. No wonder when David starts thinking about the omniscience of God, that he knows what I'm going to speak before I say it, that he knows my ways, my routine, that he knows my when I sleep, when I get up, he knows what I'm thinking. It's no wonder that he says in verse number 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." He's saying, this blows me away. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around this. This is so wonderful. This is a glorious truth. He says, I can't even attain all of this. And so I know that this morning that we're not going to be able to understand all the philosophical and theological truths of the all-knowing nature of God, but Psalms 139 is the classic statement that passage that theologians will go to help us to understand the concept that God knows all things. He knows what could happen, he knows what would happen, and he also knows what will happen. Now I want you to track this with me in the first four verses. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. These four verses outline the rest of the chapter. Verse number 1 provides a summary statement, and the summary statement is this: God knows us. Verse number 1, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That's a simple way for the psalmist to say, David saying, Lord, you know me. You know all about me. So he says in verse 1, Lord, you know us. Verse number 2, he knows all of our routines, all of our actions, and even all of our thoughts. Look at verse 2. Thou knowest my downsetting and my rising up. That is, Lord, you know all the routine of my life. You know when I get up in the morning, and you know when I go to bed at night. The verse number 2, thou understands my thought afar off. Lord, you even know all of my actions, my routines, and my thoughts. Verse number 3, God knows our direction. God knows our way. Listen to this. God knows your habits. Whether they're heathen habits or they are holy habits, God knows them. Look at verse number 3. He says, thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Now, track this now. God knows us. He knows the routine of my life. He knows my actions and my thoughts. Verse 3, he knows my direction, my ways, and my habits. And again, in verse 4, he even knows every word that we're going to speak. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Now, when we talk about the omniscience of God, you need to remember this, that even Jesus picks up on what David has to say here in Matthew chapter number 12 and reminds us that God is listening to every single word you say. Not only does God know what you're going to say, but God also is going to hold you accountable. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, we used to teach our kids a song, and I guess we still do it today. It's one I was taught in Sunday school. You know, oh, be careful little hands what you're involved in, or oh, be careful little eyes what you see, oh, be careful little ears what you hear. Remember that song? Oh, be careful little mouth what you say, for the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful little mouth what you say. Do you realize that there's coming a day you're going to stand before God, and all the glorious things you have said, you'll receive a reward. But all the gossiping things you have repeated, well, there's going to be a sense of regret and remorse at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says, remember every idle word. That's why it's important for us to keep short accounts with God. In your daily devotion and Bible reading, before you read your Bible, before you read that devotion book, you need to pray and ask God to cleanse your soul. Ask God to cleanse your mind. Because every idle word one day is going to be brought into the judgment seat of Christ. Notice verse 16. God not only knows us, knows my routines, the actions of my life. He not only knows my direction, my ways, my habit, what I'm going to say, but God also knows all the days of our lives. Look at Psalms 139, verse 16. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, that is, even before I was born. He says, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now this phrase, in continuance was fashioned, means this: God, you saw me and fashioned my days before I was born. Even before you were conceived and brought into the world, God in his all-knowing nature already fashioned your days. He knows all truth. He knows what could happen. He knows what would happen, and he knows what will happen. And even before you were born, the psalmist says, God, you saw my substance. You saw me living and breathing. You saw my actions. You heard my words. You even knew what I was going to say. Lord, your all-knowing power is so awesome. It was even written in your books, which is in continuance, were fashioned. Yet, he says, there was none of them. That is, God, you know me in the most intimate way possible. God knows everything about you. Here's what you need to know this morning. God knows you at a level of intimacy that nobody else knows you. God knows you at a level of intimacy that nobody else can begin to conceive or understand. Your mate may know you, your mother may know you, your father may know you, your friends may know you, but nobody knows you like God. He sees what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what you were thinking. You know, a lot of times we're afraid to share what we're thinking with our mate, right? We're maybe scared to share our fears or maybe our worries or maybe some type of inadequacy that we have. We feel like we can't measure up and we're afraid to express and verbalize it and say it out loud. But with God, it doesn't change God's relationship with us. God knows all these things already. There's not one facet of you that he doesn't understand. He knows your deepest secret. He knows your darkest despair. He knows what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind. And the psalmist says, this is just awesome. This is just, it's wonderful knowledge because God has such a close, intimate relationship with me, and his relationship with me will never, ever change. You see, his love for me and his relationship with me is not contingent upon my faults and my failures. His love is never changing. Somebody say amen. And aren't you glad for that? Let's dig into that just a little bit further. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you four ways God's omniscience impacts your spiritual life. How God is all-knowing. How does that impact my spiritual life? Let me give you the first one. Number one, God's omniscience and our supplication. When I talk about supplication, I'm talking about our prayer life, how we offer ourselves unto God. And the psalmist in the passage is praying unto God. Look what he says in Psalms 139. He knows God is all-knowing, so he prays. Lord, he says, verse 23, search me. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, David's prayer here is based on the omniscience of God. He's saying, Lord, search me. Lord, know my heart. Lord, know my thoughts. Basically, Lord, I know that you know everything about me, so I bring my thoughts, my choices, and my desires, I bring them before you. Search me, God, so that I will choose wisely. Search my heart, God, so that I will make the right choice. If there's anything wicked in me, Lord, remove it. Lord, you know everything about me, so help me to make the very best possible choice. Did you know this morning that God knows, listen now, did you know that God knows what you need before you even ask it? Before you even get down in prayer and you form the words in your mouth, God already knows what you need before you ask him. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Jesus is talking about prayer here, and he's showing the difference of a hypocritical prayer life and a real, true, genuine prayer life. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." When I went to Israel several years ago, a lot of the Orthodox Jews will pray against the Wailing Wall and other areas. Actually, they even prayed on the plane while we were there. And as they pray, they were rocking back and forth. You may have seen that before. They rock back and forth. And so I was curious, and I went up and asked one of them. I said, you know, I'm from the States, and this is new to me, I told him. And I said, so why are you rocking back and forth when you pray? He said, well, we're putting what the Bible says, we're putting our soul and our mind and our spirit, we're putting our all into prayer. And so they're rocking back and forth, and many of them are chanting these prayers out loud. Well, this same process was going on in Jesus' day, and Jesus said that for many of them, he said they have their reward. That is, they have the accolades of men. People look at him and say, wow, there's a spiritual person. That person must be in tune with God. That person must love God. And the Bible says they have their reward. It's the applause of men. I want you to know we should not be seeking the applause of men. We ought to be seeking the applause of heaven. Somebody say amen. So Jesus tells us, here's what true biblical prayer actually looks like. He said, verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Here it is, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like them. Listen now, for your Father knoweth, underscore that, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, here it is, before you ask them. So when you come to God in prayer, and you've got this need in your heart and on your mind, God already knows what you need of even before you begin to form the words within your mouth. Now you need to understand this. We do not inform God. He already knows. What's happening at that moment is I am praying in fellowship and faith with the Lord. You see, it's not my prayer that changes God. Amen? It is God that changes me. And what happens in that moment when I begin to pray, that God's Spirit begins to work on us. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Watch now. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God already knows. He knows what you need this morning. He knows your deepest, darkest secret. He knows the depths of your despair. He sees you in public and in private. He knows what's going on within your spirit, in your soul, and in your mind. There is nobody that knows you more intimately like God. Amen. And so the Bible says he already knows. Well, I know what your question may be. Well, if he knows, why don't he just give it to me? Why is he making me come forward and pray? Why do I have to spend time and waste time? I could be doing something else for him. Why is it that God wants me to pray if he already knows what I need? And I told the church this morning, here's what I have found in my prayer life. I have found that sometimes I come to the Lord in prayer and I think this is the right thing, Trey. I'm thinking I'm praying about the right matter. Whether it's a policy, whether it's a practice, whether it's preaching, whatever it may be, whether it's for my family, my friends, something I'm going to do, and I might start praying about this, and I find that in my prayer, what I think is the right thing, God begins changing my mind. Has that ever happened to you, right? You're praying about something, and all of a sudden, God begins working on you and says, no, you better not do that, because if you do this, that is going to happen, and if you do that, this is going to happen. Now, how can God know that? God knows what could happen, God knows what would happen, and God knows what will happen. God knows all truth. God knows every single possibility. You take every probability to a problem you're facing, and you stretch all those probabilities out to here and past infinity and beyond. I watch a lot of Toy Story, all right? To infinity and beyond, you know? And you stretch all of them out. God knows the true probability, the feasible truth of every single situation. You change one minute detail. It doesn't matter what that detail is. God knows the true outcome. He knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen. He sees past, present, and future all in one moment in time. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, say amen. God knows everything that is actual, and God knows everything that is possible. So when you are praying, you're saying, Lord, I need to do this or I need to do that, and God, in your spirit, you feel his spirit impressing upon your spirit, no, don't do that. Because if you do this, this is going to be the outcome. Now, do we have proof of that in the Bible? That God can actually tell somebody, listen, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. But if you do that, this is what's going to happen. Do we have proof of that? Sure we do. Look to the book of Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38 gives us a wonderful illustration of the fact that God knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen based upon our choices. Now, here's the thing about that. God remains sovereign in every situation. Even though I have human free will and I can practice my human free will, God remains sovereign in every single situation because he knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen. It doesn't negate his sovereignty. He still is in control, even though he's given you and I the ability to choose. That is, years ago, when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump was running for president, God knew what was true of you. He knew what you would do even before you got to the poll. Now, he didn't make you. It's not determinism where it's a fatal, where God causes you to vote a certain way. But God knew what you were going to do even before you got there. But you had a choice. You could have said, I'm not voting. I'm going to not honor my American right, and I choose not to vote. You could have chose to go and get ice cream instead. You could have chose to come visit me and take me for a cup of coffee and not vote. You could have got in there and where you was going to vote Republican, you could have said, I'm voting Democrat. Or you was going to vote Democrat. On your mind, you got there and you chose, I'm going to choose Republican. It doesn't matter what circumstance or situation happens. Listen, God knows what's true of you. He knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 17 is a perfect example. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah. Now here's what's happening. The Lord is using the prophet Jeremiah, and he is speaking through Jeremiah, and he is telling him what's going to happen. Now track this. Listen. Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then, if you do this, then this is going to happen, then thy soul shall live, and the city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. Verse 18, but if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall the city be given into the hands of the Chaldeans, and the city shall burn with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hands. God says, if you go to the Babylonian princes, you're going to live. Now, they had a choice. They could choose not to, and God makes room for that in the very next verse. If you don't go, here's going to be the outcome. Now, how can God know the outcome of somebody's choice? It's because God knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen. Somebody say amen. He remains sovereign and in control of every situation. So he tells them, if you go do this, you're going to live. The city's not going to burn. You'll have the blessings and the favor of God if you choose to do this. But if you don't do that, here's the outcome of that scenario. So every probability, every proposition, every problem that's out there, God knows the truth of that matter. So why is that important? Here's why it's important. When you go to God in prayer and you begin praying in your supplication and you're saying, Lord, I need you to direct me, you may think this is what you need. You may think this is what you desire. You may think this is the best possible situation. But in prayer, God already knows what you need, and he will direct you in your prayer life and put you on the path of righteousness, and he will lead you and guide you and direct you all the days of your life if you will just trust in him. Somebody say amen. For me, it's a great comfort to know that the all-knowing God, this omniscient God, he reveals to us what we really need instead of what we think we need. He shows me, David, this is what you really need to do. David, this is what you really need to say. David, this is what you really need to practice. Them other things, son, if you do that, here's the consequence. Because we see the fence, God sees over the fence. Somebody say amen, right? And so God's omniscience in our supplication within our prayer life. Look at verse number 5. This is God's omniscience at work in our suffering. Do you know God knows exactly what you're going through? He sees your despair. You're not alone today. Look at verse number 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Now, this is an interesting verse. You see this phrase, beset? This is where a good Hebrew word study comes in to help you to understand what's happening here. The word beset in the Hebrew means to press upon. It means to compress. It was actually a military term that was used to describe an army that's besieging a city. And they're all around it. The troops are pressing towards war. So it means to besiege. It means to hem in. It means to closely surround. It basically means there is no way to escape. That's what the word means. There's nothing that you can do to escape. Men and women, you need to know today that there's nothing that you can do to escape the knowledge of God. You can't hide in the closet. You can't hide in the dark. You can't hide in the cover of night. You can't hide in the church. You can't hide through some ritual or rite. There's nowhere that you can hide from the knowledge of God. David is saying, God was on every side of me. There was no escaping God, whether I lay down or whether I rise up. He knows my thoughts. He knows my actions. He knows my ways. He knows my habits. He knows all about me. There is no way that I can escape from the very knowledge of God. And no matter what I suffer, no matter what situation I go through, he said, your hand is laid upon me. Thank God for the hand of God. Somebody say amen. No matter what we're going through, you can't hide from God. He knows where you're at this morning, and his hand is upon you this morning. He's leading you, protecting you. Notice what Psalms 31, verse 7 says. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Think about that. You know those nights that you're crying? You're upset, there's a broken relationship, you got some problem going on. You know, you can't share it with nobody. You're dying on the inside. You want to tell somebody, but you can't. And you're afraid to share it. You're afraid it's going to make you look like a fool. You're afraid it's going to make you look weak. You're afraid it's going to embarrass you somehow, that if you were to bear this burden of your soul, you can't even tell your mate. You're afraid to talk to your husband or your wife. You can't talk to your best friend. And on the inside, you just had this anxiety and this worry, and you're perplexed on the inside. Notice what the Bible says. God says, I know the adversity of your soul. So why are you trying to hide it from God? He already knows. You say, oh, if I tell God, God will change his mannerisms toward me. If I tell God, God may not bless me. If God really knew what was going on the inside, he certainly wouldn't anoint me and watch out over me. Friend, I got news for you. He already knows. There's not a book he's got to read to discover anything about you. Nobody has to tell him anything. There's nothing that he will ever discover about you that he already knows. In your soul, in your spirit, in your mind, in your conscience, your subconscious, everything about you, God knows. So David says, no matter what situation I'm in, God is besieging me. God's knowledge is around me. There is no way to escape the knowledge of Almighty God. Psalms 142, verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Do you see that? Psalms 31, verse 7 talks about the soul, when my soul is in adversity. Psalms 142, verse 3, when my spirit is overwhelmed. Your soul is the seat of emotion. Your spirit is the seat of knowledge. And your body carries both of them out. You understand that? Your soul is the seat of emotion. Your spirit is what you know, is the seat of knowledge. And then our body carries out those two processes. And our emotions are stirred up, our soul is stirred up, we manifest it with tears. We manifest it sometimes with a worried face or anxiety. Sometimes it's expressed in happiness when our soul is stirred. When we learn something new, our spirit is stirred, and we manifest that on the outside by telling others and appropriating that wisdom and appropriating that knowledge. David says, whether it's my body, whether it is my soul, whether it is my spirit, God, you know everything about me in my suffering. Dr. David Jeremiah said it this way, God knows what we experience. He knows every minute of our pain and suffering. He not only knows what we feel, he knows why we feel what we feel. He knows how it happened and how long it's going to last and how intense it is. He knows every emotion that's associated with it. And when you're going through difficult times, sometimes all you can do is look up and say, Father, you know. God, you know all about it. Lord, you know every single detail, and you know the truth behind all of this. So search me, oh God. Make sure there's no wicked way within me. You see, God's omniscience works within our supplication. God's omniscience works during our suffering. But also, thirdly, God's omniscience works in our service. I want you to ponder this morning. And really, this could be a one-point sermon. And this is if we learn just this morning, then it was worth being here. And I want you to really meditate on this week. I don't want this truth to slip away from you. I don't want this, what I'm about to tell you, I don't want to run away. I don't want you looking at your phone. I don't want you looking at your watch. I don't want you, you know, I want you to listen what God has to say in His Word about His omniscience and our service. Listen now. Since God is all-knowing, there is nothing, underline the word nothing, there is nothing God can discover about us that would make Him stop loving you. There's not one thing that God can ever discover about you that would make Him love you less. Now, our relationships are built that way. You know, let's just say I'm good friends with Matt and Trey up here. They're pastors within our church. They're preachers within our church. And, you know, and Curtis comes to me and says, man, did you hear about Trey and Matt? I'm like, what happened? Oh, man, this is what happened. And all of a sudden, when I hear that, my relationship with them does what? Changes. You know, it just starts to change. And yeah, thanks, brother, right? Thanks for ratting us out, right? It changes. You've been there, right? You've heard something, somebody's told you something, and all of a sudden, when you learn this new truth, let me put it to you this way. Let's say you get a brand new job, and you think that the person that interviewed you, which was your boss, you think, oh, this person's so wonderful. You know, I just can't believe this person's so great, they're so kind, they're so gracious, they offered me this, they offered me that, and you take that job and you find out that this person is a Cruella de Vil. Watch a lot of Disney again, right? Cruella de Vil. And she's so evil, she's so mean, you know, she says hateful things to you, and, you know, and if you're just a second late, you know, you're getting chewed out, and you find out this lady's not the lady that interviewed me, and all of a sudden what happens? Your relationship with her changes. You discovered something new. Now I've been married a long time. Next year we're coming up on 30 years, and so I'm still learning brand new things about Melissa, and she's learning brand new things about me. There are still things that I'm going to discover. I know when we got married, I didn't think that a human being could snore that loud. No, I'm kidding. See, I don't think she's in here. Is she? Is she in here? I'm the one that snores. You know, there's things that we learn about one another as you go along. And it's easy for your opinions to maybe change. So marriage is a work in progress. Somebody say amen. If you've been married 5 seconds, you know that marriage is a work in progress. But you're going to discover things that you didn't find out when you were dating. You know, you didn't realize this was going to happen when you're dating. And so you discover brand new things, and all of a sudden you're challenged to try to meet those demands and change. Here's what I'm saying. With God, there's nothing that He can discover. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in the recesses of your soul. He knows what you're contemplating within your spirit. He knows the words before you form them. So there is nothing that God can discover about us that's going to make Him love you any less. So why do you run from Him? Why are you running from Him? Oh man, if God knew that I cussed a little bit, maybe He won't bless me. If God knew that I did this, maybe He won't bless me. If God knew I did this, He certainly wouldn't love a person like me. God would be so disappointed if He found out if I came to the altar and told Him, Lord, I did this last night. Well, guess what? He already knows. And you know what? There's nothing that He has discovered about you that's causing Him today to love you less. He's not like our relationships. Aren't you thankful? His relationship is an unconditional love. His relationship never stops loving us. Whether God gets a bad report or a good report, whether it's a report of good news or bad news, it's a failure, it's a triumph, whatever it is, God's never surprised. He already knows. Listen, He knows when you are fearful, and He knows when you are faithful. He knows when you're worrying, and He knows when you are worshiping. He knows when you are slacking in your Christian life, and He knows when you are serving in your Christian life. And He even knows more than that. Listen, child of God, He knows that you've been redeemed by the blood. He knows that you've been accepted in the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows that your name is written down in glory. And so the psalmist says in verse 2, Thou knows my downsetting and my rising up. Lord, You understand my ways. There's not even a word in my tongue, O God. Oh Lord, that Thou knowest it altogether. Such knowledge It is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. No wonder the psalmist would say in Psalms 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. My understanding and knowledge is not infinite. Ours is finite. God's is infinite. He knows what could happen, what would happen, and what will happen when we follow Him. In my suffering, the omniscience of God is there. In my supplication, the omniscience of God can be seen. Even in my service, the omniscience of God can be seen. As I said this morning, I would not be a faithful preacher to you if I did not tell you that not only in the omniscience of God can be manifested in my service, in my supplication, and in my suffering, but the omniscience of God also knows our sins. He knows, friend. You might be keeping it from your wife, keeping it from your husband, you're keeping it from the pastor or from the church. God knows what you do in private, and God knows what you do in public. He already knows. You think, well, maybe He won't know about my sin if I come in here and I kind of slip in. Maybe He'll give me a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? You know, this is like Monopoly. You know, I'll get a pass and I get to go. If I come to church and if I sing a hymn, if I give a little money, then He won't recognize all that sin and all those terrible habits that I've been involved in. Well, I want you to know, He knows. That's why David, when he was so overwhelmed with the fact, God, You know my thoughts. You know the words I'm going to say before I say them. You even know what I need before I ask of it. No wonder he said, search me, O God. You know everything about me. You know the depths of my despair within my soul. You know what my spirit is contemplating and troubled with. You know what's going on in my life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, try me, test me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way within me. God, I want You to scan the hard drive of my life. Remove all the viruses. Lord, remove any impediment. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Because God is omniscient, He knows our sins. Because God is all-knowing, there is nothing that you can hide from God. And one day, you're going to give an account of everything that you have done before the eyes of God. And you will confess it, even though God knows it. You will have to confess it. Listen to Psalms 44, verse 21. Shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Listen to this, Psalm 69, verse 5. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Again, the Hebrew passage that we read earlier, chapter 4, verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that's not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked, they're laid open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That is, my life is an open book unto God, who is going to judge me, who I will have to give an account of. Paul would say in Romans chapter 2, verse number 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth. And when we talk about omniscience, the all-knowing nature of God, we are saying that God knows all truth. God knows all possibilities, probabilities. He knows actual. He knows possible. God knows all truth. And so when Paul says, when we stand before God in judgment, we are going to stand before God according to truth, that is according to the knowledge of God, who knows our innermost, darkest secrets of the soul and of the mind, our holy habits, our heathen habits. We will stand before God and we'll give an account. No secrets. They'll all be exposed. No excuses. There's none. They're null and void. In God's courtroom, there's not one of us that can offer up an excuse, because God knows all things. Secrets and excuses are useless. So why are you delaying today in coming to God? What are you trying to hide? He already knows. He knows the sin that you're involved in. He knows what you're doing in the dark. He knows the secrets. He knows the lies. He knows the gossip. He knows all of that. So why are you delaying? You're not hiding it from him. The only thing that's happening at this moment is the devil is telling you a lie. And he is lying to you saying that God doesn't know. If you come and confess it, he's going to find out. I've got news for you. We proved it today already. God knows all things. And when you come and tell him and confess it, he's not going to love you any less. His love is not conditional. It's unconditional. So no matter what's happened, no matter where you've been, no matter what you have said, God's love for you will never change. There's not one thing he's going to discover or learn new about you that he already knows. He knows you in the most intimate way that no other being will ever know you. So come to him. God can be trusted. If you believe it, say amen. Curtis, come to the piano. Let me read one more verse to you. Verse 17 and verse 18. He knows everything already. His love hasn't stopped for you. Notice what the psalmist says. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Do you hear that? How precious, God, is your thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How gracious and merciful is the thoughts of God towards us. Think about that. He knows your innermost secret. He knows your dark desires. He knows your sinful ways. He knows your routine, your action. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. But yet, his mercy and grace is so wonderful that the psalmist says, how precious, how merciful are your thoughts to me, O God. If I come to you today, there's no escaping you, Lord. You will forgive me. You will save me. You will help me. That's how gracious and kind God is today. And I hope you see that. This is a God that knows everything about you, yet his love for you will never, ever change. Would you come to him? We're going to sing this passage. There's a wonderful hymn that we've seen that talks about, search me, O God. If you know it, you can sing it with us. But in a few moments, if God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come? Quit hiding things from him. Lay it down there. He knows it already. Confess it and experience his love today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.